to do is praise your name, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You are my God, and all I want to do is praise your name. I praise your name and lift our voices and proclaim. You are my God, and all I want to do is praise your name.
The Early Morning Late Show is underway. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Bill Arnold on vacation. He's thinking of me as unreliable, maybe. I don't know if that works. Glad to have you tuned in today. And looking forward to spending a little time talking with George Yancey. George is professor of sociology at the University of North Texas. And he has studied over the years academic bias and also has conducted research on anti-Christian attitudes in the United States. And has been writing on that for a number of years and does a lot of research conducting critical but non-hostile research that helps Christians to better serve their communities and the larger society. We want to talk to George about just listening a bit and how we come to some sort of agreements in this very divisive world in which we live. George, welcome back to Faith Radio. Good to have you on.
Thanks for having me back.
George, maybe just, you're in, I think, Dallas area or North Texas, maybe not immediately affected by the serious flooding in Houston, but I'm sure it's not so much fun there these days.
You know, we're far enough north that we're probably getting the best end of it. I mean, if anything, our summer's not quite as horrible as it normally is. But I mean, of course, you know, that we definitely would pay the price of having our normal horrible summer if we did not have to see all of the flooding and damage that's been done in Houston. It's just been egregious what's taken place.
George, you wrote recently on one of your blog spots talking about the importance of listening and active listening. And we are certainly in a time in our country where there doesn't seem to be a lot of listening. Even if we want to have dialogue, that kind of gets shut down even before it gets started. Talk about what you're seeing.
Yeah, you know, of course, I started thinking about active listening as it concerns race relations, but I definitely think it's also viable when we're looking at how polarized we are in our society, you know, however you want to do it, right versus left, Christian versus non-Christian, or however. And the issue is we talk a lot, but we don't listen. And by listening, we don't listen so that we understand where the other person's coming from. Not that we have to agree with the other person. We think that if I really understand this person, that means I agree with you. It doesn't mean that at all. But it means that I understand your perspective and why you have your perspective, which I think humanizes so that we can have a conversation where we can find some agreement, some compromise. Compromise has become a dirty word. Compromise is a word in which we can live with each other by, because, you know, the only alternative to compromise is to convert everyone to exactly what we believe. And, of course, that's as a Christian, I would love to see more Christians, but I live in the real world, too, and people are going to choose not to be a Christian, and I'm going to have to live in this world, and I have to learn how to live with them. And so that's one thing that's disturbed me, is that we seem to have lost the art of being able to truly listen to one another nowadays.
You're a professor at a university where, you know, we've been wondering about all the kind of the safe spaces being created and the tenderness of many university students. I mean, are they willing to listen? Or, I mean, we don't even want to hear, you know, ideas that might be different than what we have grown up with. I mean, it's kind of an unusual season in our country, it seems.
Yeah, the whole idea of safe space, you know, that really seems to have exploded in the past few years. And it's really the opposite of what I would want. I mean, the idea of a safe space where you can go away from ideas and away from others who offend you is exactly the opposite. We should talk to people that we think their ideas are offensive to us, not that we want to agree with them, but to understand where they are coming from. And the idea of a safe space is the opposite of that. It's like, well, you offend me, therefore I'm going to create this space where I don't have to hear from you. So, yeah, unfortunately, the university, which I love, which I work at, has not been a good way to promote active listening. In fact, some of what we do actually works against that.
Are there actually practical steps that we could all apply today in terms of doing some active listening, whether it's at work or in a home, relationship, where it might be, or at school?
Well, you know, if someone wants, you know, I would like to see us develop a culture where you listen more. And so, you know, you start with where you're at. I would just say find someone who you disagree with, but you have some relationship with them. You have a phone conversation, have a take them out to a Coke or lunch or something like that, and then pick a topic and then just listen. And here's the sort of process of active listening. Ask them how they feel about an issue. Listen to what they say. Don't think about your response. Just listen to what they have to say. Once they're finished, then in your own words, put back what you heard them saying. You know, here's what I heard. You feel this way because da-da-da-da-da. See if they agree. If they don't agree, then try to see whether or not, you know, how you can put in your own words to where they would agree. At that point, when they agree, you know how they feel about a given issue. And so when that issue comes up, you could dialogue with them in a way that respects their point of view. Now, in the ideal world, they would also want to listen to you. But I think if you go into it expecting that, then they may become more defensive. So I would suggest going in and just trying to listen. And then hopefully over time, as you listen to them, they will want to understand you a little bit better. But, of course, there's no guarantees. But if we had a culture where that happened more and more, then I think it would be more expected rather than something that does not happen hardly at all.
In a moment, we're going to talk more with George Yancey, and we'll find out if he's allowed to speak or if people don't want to hear what he has to say, his viewpoints as a professor. He's a professor of sociology at the University of North Texas, and we'll talk a little bit about, you know, freedom of speech and conscience on campuses across the country, as well as some discussion about identity politics. That's all ahead. George Yancey is guest with us this morning on the Monday edition of the Early Morning Late Show. Eighteen past the hour. It's the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Bill today. Glad to have you along. George Yancey is with us today. George is a professor of sociology at the University of North Texas, a great writer, a researcher, sociologist. And George, I noted that today religious leaders from many faiths are in Washington, D.C. today to protest President Trump's moral leadership. The 1,000 ministers march for justice comes on the 54th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. The rally is expected to start near the MLK Memorial in the National Mall. This morning, the rally was organized by the Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network. I was at the gym over the weekend and noticed, of course, I only spent about, you know, 3 minutes exercising, so I didn't follow along. But the Reverend Sharpton was on speaking, and he was pointing out that at the Trump rally last week that they had the, I think he referred to it as the token black person in the background picture. And does that bother you when, you know, Reverend Al and others, you know, look at you and others that maybe have a conservative viewpoint, say you don't really represent the black population?
Well, I don't represent the black population. No one single person represents the black population. I'm not a Trump supporter. But I am more conservative than Al Sharpton, so we would disagree more than probably we would agree. Al Sharpton has the right to have his protests, have his rallies, and I would defend his right to do that. I'm a big believer in free speech, when he says something that misconstrues, then, you know, I want to be one of the voices that correct him. And if he implies that he represents the entire black voice, he's incorrect. The black voice is much more diverse than it used to be.
There is something you wrote on recently, though, about identity politics, and that seems like that is adding new people all the time, maybe. Say a bit more about that.
Yeah, you know, identity politics used to be something that we saw more on the left than the right. You know, identity politics is, you know, you appeal to people based on their identity, based, you know, on a variety of things. It could be race, obviously it could be sexuality, it can be gender, it can be, you know, a lot of different things. And so the whole thing, I guess this is what Sharpton was probably, I didn't see this rally personally. What Sharpton's trying to get at is, you know, support me in part because I'm black, you're black, and I have your interests at heart. So identity politics promises that, you know, you support us, and we're going to take care of you as a black person or as a whatever. And they used to be something that we only really saw on the left. Well, Trump really has brought it to the right. You know, Trump had an appeal, you know, to identity politics. And I'm not saying that, all his voters were white nationalists or anything like that. But there was this sort of appeal towards, hey, I'll take care of you as a European American. You know, you've lost your place in society. And so what we have now is identity politics on both sides of the aisle. I just don't think that's the healthy way to go in our society. I think that, you know, identity politics, I understand its appeal, but solutions, I think, to the problems in our society are going to have to encompass most or almost everybody. And identity politics has this sort of narrow focus, you know, take care of my group, and then I'll vote for you. And sometimes the solution to take care of your group may be good for your group, but it's bad for the rest of society. And so I just, you know, I see it problematic. I see it problematic that identity politics up on the right, not that, you know, they didn't have the right to do so, but I guess I have a problem with identity politics in general. And so, you know, when it develops more on the right, you know, I guess I'd rather not see it develop either way. But that's the direction we've gone in our society lately.
It's certainly an opportunity, once again, for the church to bridge those divides, right, and to represent the full body of Christ, regardless of, you know, various identities.
Well, one of the reasons why I've been, you know, I've done a lot of my work previously in multiple sorts of churches was because I believe the church could transcend different identities. And this is not to say that, as an African American myself, there are certain things that impact me more than a European American, and I shouldn't be concerned about them. But I do see that the body of Christ can transcend those identities, you know, put them in the proper perspective, but also have an overarching goal, an overarching value that can bring us together. I think we still can do that, but it's going to be much harder since it becomes much more polarized in our society.
George, it's back to school time, and I know you do a lot of research, but also the teaching. Are there any issues with, you know, academic freedom or freedom of speech, conscience for you as a professor? And, you know, I know you've done a lot of discussion and research on religious freedom. What are you sensing on the university and college campuses today?
You know, it's an interesting time as far as academic freedom. I'm actually working on a symposium that we're going to have come this, I think, early October on academic freedom. You know, there are some places like University of Chicago that's made a bold statement on academic freedom, and I definitely appreciate that. And then you have other places, you know, most notably in California, where academic freedom is you know, challenged again and again and again. Berkeley comes to mind. You know, so it's not that you can say that, you know, that everywhere academic freedom is in peril. I do think that there are some places that are beginning to see the value of academic freedom. But I still think overall we have a problem with academic freedom in academia, and that certain ideas are not allowed to even be presented, much less debated. And that's the problem. I've always been of the opinion that if you don't like an idea, figure out a debate and debate that idea. Don't shut that idea up. And I think that actually does more damage than good. You know, they drive people underground, and then they do nasty stuff. And so I'm a big proponent of academic freedom. I think we may be turning a corner, but it's too early to tell. But I'd love to see more University of Chicago type of stuff happening.
Yeah. George, I know you're writing regularly and doing research on this. If people want to read more about your get connected with you, what's a good way to do that?
Well, you know, I've started a new blog called Shattering Paradigms. So, you know, that's one way you can keep up with my work. And then I do have my own website, georgeyanthony.com, where, you know, you can see some of my books and also see some stuff that I've already written. And as I publish new stuff, I'll update that website. And also when I get speaking engagements, I'll put that there as well.
George, glad to have you back with us here on the morning show. Nice to talk with you again.
Thank you, and God bless.
George Yancey is professor of sociology at University of North Texas. You can find out about his writings, written some great books. GeorgeYancey.com is the website. Now, coming up in a moment, we'll turn to Breakpoint and talking about the new sexual ethic. And there's a relationship with the religious liberty. And we're going to talk about that Colorado baker who got in trouble, not surprisingly. All that coming up here in a moment. And then in about 10 minutes, stay tuned as we talk with one of our favorite guests here in the morning show. It's David Akeman, and we'll talk foreign affairs here in the Early Morning Late Show. I'm Neil Statham, sitting in for Bill Arnold.